It's a unique time of opening God's Word together to talk about typing Jesus. What does that mean? Let's find out together. The Encouraging Word. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton. Let's open God's Word to Hebrews chapter 7 and stay connected online as well at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Dr. Don Wilton.
My friends, I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 7. It is very important that you get your Bibles and turn there with me this morning. While your Bibles are open to Hebrews chapter 7, I do want to say a few things to you. First of all, I have entitled my message to you this morning, Typing Jesus. What immediately comes to mind is what I am so poor at doing myself. Some of you immediately think about typing on a computer. That's not what this message is all about. In biblical studies, a very important part of biblical studies is what is known as typology. And in order for you to just simply understand where we're going to be going this morning, I want you to know that everything in the Old Testament points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His impending death upon the cross. Everything in the New Testament from the death of Jesus points back to the death and sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. So if someone was to say to you, what is the Bible all about? The Bible is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the Word of God, from Genesis through to Revelation. And what is interesting and what is very significant for us is that we discover that in the Old Testament that God raised up many people and allowed many circumstances and events to happen that were types of Christ's. You know, sometimes we use the phrase, I'm on choir tour at the moment. I know I'm here in body and in spirit this morning. We're going to be going all the way to San Antonio and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Houston, Texas, and Mobile, and so on this coming week. Do you know, as I sit there and I watch our young people sing, I see your sons and daughters. I don't know whether this is good or bad news, but I look at many of your sons and daughters and I say, goodness me, is she just not like her mother? Goodness me, if that's not her daddy, I don't know. I'm talking mannerisms and characteristics and the way they eat and the way they talk and the fun they have and that wonderful spirit. There is a sense in which what God does for us in the Old Testament is He has raised up people and events that point us that through these people and events, the Jewish people were able to come to a better understanding of who Jesus Christ is. You see, my friends, we must understand that Hebrews was written primarily to a Jewish people, many of whom had recently become Christians. But they had grown up in their religious tradition. God, by His Spirit, here in the letter to the Hebrews, takes a man by the name of Melchizedek, who is a type of Christ, who lived thousands of years before Jesus came. And in Hebrews chapter 7, God uses the life and times of Melchizedek to type Jesus Christ. If Melchizedek was the type of Christ, Jesus is the anti-type. Anti-type in the New Testament is the real thing. He's the corresponding real thing. The one to whom the type pointed, the example of. Second thing I want to remind you about is a group of people called the Levites. Now, the Levites were an interesting group. They were the priestly tribe. How many tribes were there in Israel? 12 tribes, right? One of those tribes were the tribe of Levi. Now, this is not where you get Levi genes from. They were the Levites. And the Levites were a very interesting group of people. I want to tell you just briefly four or five things about the Levites. Number one, it was from the Levites that all the priests of Israel came. That's where they came from. You could only be a priest if you were a Levite. Now, not all Levites were priests, but all Levites, even those that were not selected as priests, served in the temple for and with the priests. You had to be a Levite to be a priest. You had to have a genealogy. You had to have an ancestral record. Number two, all the Levites had to subject themselves to the king, but they themselves could not become king. Now, folks, the Levites could become priests. They had to serve the king, but they themselves could never be king. We're going to find that Melchizedek was a king. I'm going to explain that to you. There's a third thing I want you to know about the Levites. They had to repeatedly offer sacrifices. I wonder how many times I have sinned this past week. Sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins that I know about, sins that I don't know about. Did you know that according to the law of the Old Testament, the priest had to offer sacrifice for every single sin? One at a time, repeatedly, over and over and over and over again. That's why people who believe in priests, they have to go to their priest on a regular basis. They have to ask for forgiveness. They have to be administered last rites. When Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in 1968 in California, the single most important thing for Bobby Kennedy was not what he said, his last words or political statement or what he told his wife. The single most important thing was that you placed a crucifix in his hand and that you got a priest to him to administer last rites. Now, folks, we've got to understand something here. Jesus Christ has set us free. Do I hear an amen? And Melchizedek is the one after whose order we find Jesus Christ. Melchizedek is the type of the antitype, who is Jesus Christ. Tell you something else about the Levites. They served according to their birth. They had a genealogy. And then one final point that is rather interesting. If you go into the book of Numbers in chapter 8, you can read about it. Levites served for a definitive period of time. They served from the age of 25 to the age of 50. That wasn't a bad plan. Do you know that when Levites turned 50, they went fishing? They retired. There were no options as far as the Levites were concerned. And one of the phrases that we're going to discover in the Word of God, in fact, time without number, we are going to discover the phrase, after the order of Melchizedek, forever. All right. Let me read this to you. Hebrews chapter 7. Now, I've said a lot, folks, but it's important. This is an important passage. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of the God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness, then also king of Salem, means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days, or end of life, like the Son of God. By the way, some people have said he is Jesus. No way. Cannot happen. The word here is the word made, which is the word that we derive our word created. Jesus Christ was never created, folks. He is. Melchizedek was created. And by the way, there's a simile there. Jesus Christ was like no other. There is no other to compare Jesus Christ with. And so it says that he was like the Son of God and he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people, that is their brothers, even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him and had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. Here's Abraham, the father of many nations, who comes into contact with Melchizedek. He gives him a tenth, a tithe. And he gives him the best, not the last. He gives him the first of all that he has. Why did Abraham do that? Because he believed that God gave to him everything. So he gave to God a tenth of everything that he had. What was the result of that? The king of Salem, I'm going to talk about him, blessed Abraham. The Bible there says that the lesser blessed the greater. The greater blessed the lesser. There was an interactiveness. Now, what happens when we give to God? Why do we give to God? Because he's blessed us. What does Jesus do for us when we tithe, when we give our offerings? He blesses us. All right, look at that verse again. Verse 7, without a doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. You want to be blessed by God? It's right there. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. All right, let's read on. Verse 11, if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek and not in the order of Aaron? The Aaronic priesthood, that was the root or the tribe of Levi. For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear. If another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life, for it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. But he became priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. The unalterable God, you see, you are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus Christ has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. Their priesthood came to an end. But because Jesus Christ lives forever, he has what? A permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike other priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins, did Jesus Christ, once and for all, when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Well, what about this priest? Let me tell you a couple of things about the priest of the Old Testament. Number one, he was a man appointed by God. Number two, he had to interpret the law. That's what he had to do. He was a man appointed by God. Number two, he had to interpret the law of God. Number three, he had to forgive one sin at a time. I tell you, that just makes me tired thinking about it. He had to forgive one sin at a time. Here was this man appointed by God, this man who interpreted the law for me, for people like me, this man who had to forgive one sin at a time. Number four, he had to offer sacrifices over and over and over again. Number five, he had to retire at the age of 50. He had a term limit. He couldn't have even served Congress. He had to retire according to Numbers chapter 8. And number six, the priest of the Old Testament had to serve only Adonai. Now, folks, I want you to listen to this. The name God is unpronounceable. You see, the Jews had a real problem. They couldn't pronounce the name of God. So they gave him the name Yahweh or Yahweh in the Hebrew text. There was a problem here because God's name had no vowels. Folks, listen to me. This is important. You could not pronounce the name of God. So what name was he given? The name Adonai. What does the name Adonai mean? It means the Lord God. Adonai is the covenant God. Now listen to this. The Old Testament priest from the tribe of Levi was appointed only to serve Adonai, Lord God, the God of covenant. Here's the problem. I'm a Gentile. Thank you very much. What about me? Here comes Jesus Christ. What happens when Jesus died upon the cross? He set us free. Paul made an announcement. He said, there is no longer Jews and Gentiles. There are no longer men and women. There are no longer free men and slaves. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Do I hear an amen here this morning?
Indeed, one in Christ. Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message in just a moment. But Dr. Don, once we remind you about this Call for Courage book, it's available on our website right now at tewonline.org, now more than ever. Standing up for what we believe in is critical as we are just striving to be the men and women of God God calls us to be. Again, discover more on our website at tewonline.org. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
See, my friends, that's why this whole series is entitled The Superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Jewish people couldn't understand these things. They had grown up in this tradition. If I can say this, they were the chosen ones of God. They had a very selfish religion. And I'm going to tell you that the Jews of the New Testament, they were horrified that somebody like Peter would have the audacity to go and eat pork chops and bacon with those Gentiles down the road. And there were many times that Peter was caught preaching to the Gentiles, and the Jews would catch him running and sneaking out the back window in the book of Galatians, wiping pork grease off his chin. They couldn't understand that he would associate with the filth of the Gentile nation. But God says to us, praise be to God in Christ Jesus. He has set all people free. Wow. Melchizedek Well, who was Melchizedek? How does he fit into this picture? Why is he a type of Jesus? Let me give you a number of reasons taken from this text. Number one, Melchizedek, the Bible says, in verse 1, was a priest of the God Most High. Do you see that in verse 1? Be interested to know that that is not Adonai, the Lord God, who is the God of covenant. He is the God Most High, El Elyon. What is El Elyon? Who is the God Most High? Why was Melchizedek, as opposed to the Levite priest, why was he a priest of the God Most High? Because the God that he served was God over heaven and earth. The God that he served was God above all nations and distinctions. He was the God above both Jews and Gentiles. He was the God of the universe. That's why in the book of Genesis, what do we read there? That we worship the Lord God Most High, which is a compilation of Adonai and El Elyon, the God of covenant and the God of universe are brought together. He is one God. Thou shalt worship one God, and only He shalt thou serve. There is one faith, one Lord, one baptism. God is not divided. Who is God? He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a jealous God. He is a righteous God. He's a holy God. Friends, what God teaches us here, let alone the Jewish people who had come to know Christ, boggles the mind. He was speaking their language. God was trying to teach them through the Holy Spirit the significance of the superiority of the Son through this man Melchizedek. Who was he? Well, he just wasn't a priest that served only Adonai. He was a priest over the God who was Most High, the God of the universe, who is also the God of covenant. Number two, he was a royal priest. He was a royal priest. I wish I had time to get into some of these verses. But you go into Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. The psalmist talks about it in Psalm 110, verse 1 and 4. And right here in this passage, Bible says here very clearly, you can read it for yourself. First, his name means King of Righteousness. But then also his name means King of Salem. Be interested to know something about that. Where is Salem if he was King of Salem? Salem finds its root word from the Hebrew word shalom. Anyone want to tell me what shalom means? Peace. All right. Where is the city of peace? I'll tell you where it is. It's called Yerushalom. Yerushalem. Yerushalom. The city of peace. The city of God. Why the city of God? Because righteousness and peace have kissed together. Because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Now watch Melchizedek, thousands of years before the Israelites took control over the city of God. The Bible makes an announcement, and God by His Spirit uses this to illustrate the superiority of the Son. Melchizedek was a priest who was a royal priest, the type of Christ, Jesus Christ, the royal one, the King of Kings, Savior and Lord. Who is Jesus? He is both perfect priest and he is perfect king. The two are blended into one. That's Melchizedek. Do you now understand who Jesus Christ is? Number one, Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. Number two, he was a royal priest. Number three, he was a righteous and peaceful priest. The Bible here tells us in this passage, he was a righteous and a peaceful priest. You can go to Romans 5 and verse 1. One of my favorite passages is in Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Or go into Psalm 85 and verse 10. No wonder the Bible says that righteousness and peace have kissed together. Mankind has a longing in his heart. It is twofold. Number one, he longs to be right before God. And number two, he longs to have peace with God. The question is this: how does man become right before God? Bible says there are two ways in which you do that. Number one, by repenting of your sin. Number two, by expressing your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Now, here's what happens. When you repent of your sin and by faith you trust Jesus Christ, God in Christ Jesus gives to you and grants to you his righteousness. That is God's imputed righteousness. He clothes you in his righteousness. And the moment he clothes you in his righteousness, the second longing is fulfilled. You receive his peace. That's why righteousness and peace have kissed together. They are one in the same thing. People say to me from time to time, "Pastor, my life is in turmoil. I'm looking for reason. I want to know where to go. I want to have peace in my heart." You will never have peace without the given, granted righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It must come first.
And putting God first is where it begins. Before we get away, Dr. Don stepping into the studio now to share what's on his heart next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you just prayed to receive Christ or rededicate your life, Dr. Don Wilton has some resources he wants you to have for free if you'll call us at 866-899-WORD. Jot this number down, 866-899-9673, for the free resources if you just gave your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Jesus, or for prayer anytime. You can also find out how to get connected with those resources on our website at tewonline.org. Before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
You know, I'm so glad that we've been able to share together by means of radio today. You just mean so much to me, and how thankful we are for the Word of God together. You can call right now and connect with me at 866-899-9673. Did you get that? 866-899-9673. Call and connect with me right now.
Join us again tomorrow for the next edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton, and stay connected online at tewonline.org.